pot for today. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Ellen, happy birthday to you, many more of them too, many more of them too, many more of them too, happy birthday to you. Now Ellen responds, and Ellen responds, and Ellen responds, and Ellen responds. I thank you, I do.
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 Ellen, it's been a year or two since you've been a kid, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Been just a wee little bit. You know, when we were kids, we didn't have to think about anything. We just did the right thing. We were in the habit of doing it. We had lots of birthday parties. Every one of our friends had a birthday party, and we went to the birthday parties. And what's the purpose of a birthday party?
Having fun.
Having fun? Anybody else?
To remember that I live in eternity.
Anybody else? What's Ingeborg, what's the reason for a birthday party?
To recognize the miracle of having, having arrived at this earth.
Good direction. And what about you?
Yeah, I've been myself and had fun.
You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with that. No, you can't go wrong with that. Yes. And what do you think is the reason for a birthday?
Presents.
Right. Presents. Okay. Yeah. Now everybody likes birthday parties because they're going to have presents. Now. It does not matter what the present is.
Mm-hmm.
It does not matter how big or small it is. It does not matter anything. It matters only what? The number of presents.
Yeah.
Now, Ellen has one present there, and how many parts does that have to it, Ellen?
Oh, many.
Well, you've got to count them, because that's that many presents from that person.
Right.
And they probably did other things, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, huh?
Yes, that, a fish, and then there's a boat, and I'm going cruising, and there's a cart, and there's
an aquarium,
and a big bouquet of flowers, and
beautiful.
Oh, golly. Many cards, colorful cards. Oh, gosh.
Great.
Kisses and hugs.
Uh-huh.
You had telephone calls?
At least so far, one.
Beautiful.
And she couldn't open the email, but otherwise it would have popped out there too.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Well, this is a good thing to have happen on your birthday, because then it'll all come later.
Right. Nothing happens by chance.
When it comes through.
Mm.
You know, I was thinking, gifts are what we give at birthday time, and gifts are kind of fun to give. So when we give gifts, we give gifts because we care. Now, I was thinking I'd give Ellen a new iPhone, you know, and it's got everything on it, and it'd be great. But then, see, that's not the important thing. The iPhone's not the important thing. Ellen's blowing bubbles at me. The important thing is that they put your name on the iPhone if you ask for it. They'll engrave anything you want on there. And I thought, well, now, if I had Ellen Jeremini written on there, that wouldn't really be fair. Because in 1 year, iPhone's going to come up with some new phone that's going to be spectacular and greater and more wonderful than anything that they've ever done before. And you have to, of course, get the new one, you know. So who are you going to give the old one to? Well, you give the old one to EJ or to Ellen Jeremini. Or, well, and I thought, what would I put on it? And I thought of Beatrice here, and she said, I am myself and I have fun. Now, that's a good thing to put on there. That's mm-hmm. That's seven words. Or, I like me. That's three words, you know. Mm-hmm. I am number one. That's four words.
All is in divine order.
All is in divine order. Five words.
That's the best.
All is in. No.
Ellen. I
am. Yeah, you did it. You did it.
She got it.
Bravo.
Wiederholen bitte.
I am divine order.
I am divine order. All is in divine order. It's beautiful when you're being generic, when you're working out. Yes. Nice, isn't it? The little things are all twisting around and circling here. We have a little breeze. The sky is all overcast on Ellen's behalf. She said, I want a cloudy, rainy day today because the rain is so beautiful when it comes down up here in the mountain. So, she said, I am
divine order.
I am
divine order.
I am
divine order.
I am
divine order.
I'm divine order.
Now, what's our other phrase?
I am peace.
What's our other phrase?
I am God.
What's our other phrase?
I am number one.
Yes, that's right.
I like me. I'm divine order and peace.
I'm ideal spirit, mind, and body.
I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, why did we have to wait so long to come up with that, huh? But isn't that great? Mm-hmm. I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, what does it mean to be ideal spirit, mind, and body? That means there's no improvement. You are the ultimate of the ultimate. You are the fulfillment of whatever an ideal spirit, mind, and body is. Now, I would think that everybody would be saying that maybe 2 or 3 million times a day. Or a little more, at least, you know. But every single day. What's the statement?
I'm ideal spirit, mind, and body.
I didn't hear that.
I'm ideal spirit, mind, and body.
I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. That has a good ring to it. I think we ought to remember that. Don't you? It's got kind of a good feeling to it.
Yeah.
Now, back to Ellen's phone. If I put her name on there, and then after a year, a new one came out, she'd have to keep that, because there's nobody else in this world who's Ellen Jeremini except her.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so there are other Jereminis, of course, but the other Jereminis are so filthy rich that giving them a used iPhone wouldn't turn them on, you know, even the youngest of them. They got to have new ones.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And that's what their grandma taught them. Always go for the best.
Yeah.
Always go for the best. Well, then I thought, now, if I give something to Ellen that is not her normal bailiwick, she is going to expect me to maintain it for her. Anything I give Ellen, she's going to expect me to make it work, to make it function, and to make the iPhone in perfect order. And then if I give her a Macintosh, you know, an Apple computer, then I'm going to have to teach her how to use it.
That's right.
That's right.
Now, and if I give her a man, I'm going to have to teach her how to use him.
Yeah.
Now, if I give her anything in life, I'm going to have to teach her how to use it. Now, why is that? Because whoever gives the gift also gives the awareness of the gift. You have to. Now, what is the awareness of the gift? The awareness of the gift is listening to Art last night. Art is a very modest, very simple man, very uncomplicated, and yet he is one of the deepest, most profound men that we have met in a long time.
Yes.
And what makes Art deep and profound? You see, I don't know that you're all paying attention, but he was giving you the clue to his excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And he told you the clue to his excellence time and time again. But did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. What is the clue to his excellence?
He was practicing what he was learning. First he was eager to learn. And then he was practicing it and applying it.
He puts it into his memory.
Yeah.
He trains his brain. He does mind games.
What did you think?
And he has a natural curiosity.
I think he's just brilliant.
And what do you think?
Actually, I think he likes himself. And through that, he has self-confidence and just goes for it.
Now, you and Art are exactly the same, 100% the same. But Art has a little edge on you. Art is one-pointed. You are not. You allow yourself to be diverted. When Art is thinking about a puzzle, he's into that puzzle and not into a dozen other things at the moment. When Art went to school, his teacher says to him, "Art, you frustrate me. You get C's and D's in class. You're terrible. But when we have a pop quiz, you always come out top of the class. Why is that? Any other tests, any other things, you come out, blah, blah, you know, but on a pop quiz, that's when he would catch you. You would come into class, okay, class, we got a quiz. Now put down your stuff and take out a piece of paper and I'll write down. Zoom to zoom to zoom." And he writes it down and puts down the correct answer. He hasn't had time to think of the wrong answer. He hasn't had time to try to figure out, now, am I right? He just put down the first thought that came to his conscience. Now, I mean, that's a genius. Now, can you put down the first thought that comes to your consciousness? That's what I want you to learn. Now, how do you do it? How do you do it? You don't do it by thinking about it. You do it by doing it. One-pointed. Now, can you be one-pointed? Can you be one-pointed in anything or everything that you do? Now, Art was just sort of rambling with a lot of humility, but yet he's kind of enjoying telling the stories.
Yeah.
Because that's his life. And he was kind of proud of all the things he was doing, and he should be. But he's an amazing fellow. Why? He's an amazing fellow because everything that he puts his finger to, he falls in love with it. He takes the animals, the fish, he takes the birds, he takes the falcons, he takes
the hawks,
he takes, you name it, he takes it. And he takes the chickens, and he raises the chickens, and with turkey vultures, and he's got a fence, and he jumps off the railing of his porch when he sees a vulture coming after his birds, and says, "Let my birds alone," you know. And then he puts another cover over the top of them so the vulture can't get in there. And he's just a little kid in a man's body, you know. Just a little genius, you know, just absolutely in harmony with himself and his world. I don't know, but I would imagine that little children allow him or around him would be very, very happy. Mm-hmm. Because he enters into everything with a childlike respect, with a childlike love and joy. Now, that's quite nice. Mm-hmm. That's quite nice. Now, unfortunately, you haven't demonstrated that. You haven't demonstrated it to me or to yourself. Because, well, I have an image to uphold here, and I'm so wonderful, and I'm so good, you know. You know, my, it doesn't smell, you know, and stuff like that. Ha, ha, ha. And that's so stupid. You're not that good. You're better. And you'll never know that you're better as long as you're thinking you're good on the level that you're thinking you're good. I'm so good. My nose is so high in the air, I can hardly breathe, you know. Yeah, mm-hmm. Time to let go. Now, Art was just so simple. I said, "Art, you must be getting a good deal of money for that." "No, I'm not." He says, "The architect gets the money, but he doesn't do the job." And I said, "Well, Art, does it disturb you he doesn't do the job?" He says, "No, I know what to do." He says, "And I said, do you want his money?" "No, I don't want his money. I don't want his job. I want to do mine. I'm having fun doing what I'm doing." He likes being a little man in a big world, you know. And he's really not a little man. But I think, and I have the feeling, that perhaps his father was a little bit tough to live with, because his family were all geniuses, all of them. As he said, if you think I'm smart in the Venza, you should see my younger brother. But and how many kids were in the family? 11 kids. Wow, you know, great production line there. But you see, I have a feeling that the father was not as easygoing as the mother. The mother trained the children to do everything and do everything beautiful, and to be themselves and have fun. And the father, I don't know enough about him, but I would imagine that the father was kind of a tough guy, you know, because trying to make his way in that big family and in the world. But we'll have to ask Art what kind of a dad he had, and we may find out that his father, he may at first say, my dad was wonderful, fantastic, and great, which is how he created him. But then he may let little things slip, like my dad was definite, he was demanding, he required the best out of himself and everybody else, you know, and that's good. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we don't think that's good when it's happening to us. Dad, I'm doing my best now. No, you aren't. You're thinking about getting out to that ball game, you're not thinking about finishing this job we got in front of us here, you know. And what does Art do? Everything he does, he memorizes. Now, how do you memorize everything you do?
You love it.
No. If you loved it, that would be fine, but that's not what it is. Memory has nothing to do with love. Memory merely means that you are paying attention and alert to what you're looking at. A good book. Fell asleep halfway through it, you know. But now, he read technical manual after he went home from work. And he was so excited about memorizing them that when he went to work the next day, he knew page and number, verse and line of where it is. Now, do you know of other people like that? Oh, yes. There are people who read the Bible, and they know page and verse and line and number of every phrase in the Bible. Can you imagine that? They have memorized the entire Bible. That's all they had to do. They had no other book, you know, and that's what they read from cover to cover. But they read it with a dedication. If this book gets away from me, I want it here, you know. And so they know it, and there are many of them. Many people have memorized the Bible. In fact, they teach Bible memory verses in Bible school and in Sunday school and in church.
At my time, that
was. Yeah, they want you to memorize these things because they want you to make it yours. Now, you see, Art is such a brilliant guy that if Art were to give Julie a present of an iPhone, Art would have mentally taken the iPhone apart from cover to cover, know everything about it, how it functions. He would know how it works, how to make copies of it, how to do everything with it. He'd know how to use every one of its nuances. He would know all of the apps that are presently available, all the applications that are presently available for it, and how to use them, and how great it is. You know, he'd know all these things. And then he'd give it to Julie, and then he'd go out and buy himself something bigger, something more complex. And of course, Julie would say, I don't need anything complex. I just want to dial a number and say hi. You know? And that's good. That's good. But everything can be like that. But you have to be very careful in giving gifts. Because when you give a gift, you have to explain it and explain it and explain it. Now you say, Herb, what do you mean? Well, we have Anita here. Anita is a creative soul, right? So Anita created this beautiful fish pond with sailboats and everything to go along with Ellen's desire to go on a cruise. But she not only did that, she put fish in the pond. But she put one sleepy fish that wants to stay under a rock, and another fish that likes to hang next to whatever it is where it's feeding, and do it quietly. So quietly, Ellen couldn't see it. Now, Ellen looked with all her heart, but the rest of us looked, and we could see it perfectly because we weren't looking. You see? And Ellen, because she was looking, couldn't see it. And this happens to us so often in our life. We receive great blessings and great gifts and great opportunities, and because we're so intense on how they work and they will never learn it and that sort of thing, that they're no longer fun as a gift. And this thing here, Ellen, if she could have handled it like that, could have received this gift and said, "Beautiful." And then Sylvia, or Nita would say, "Ellen, did you see the fish here?" Ellen said, "No." "Oh, lovely." You know, she would not be attached to the fish. But the minute you become attached to things, they disappear from your sight. You can't find them, you know. The minute you become attached to even the rocks in there, you can't find them. And the minute you become attached to gifts and presents and stuff, then you can't find them. So, what are we going to do? What are we going to give to Ellen for her birthday? Well, this morning we all gave her a big hug and a big kiss, and we said, "I love you." And did we mean it?
Yes.
So, let's just say, "Ellen, I love you."
Ellen,
I love you. Ellen. And that's what Joseph does over the telephone. "I'll see you, Herb." Holy cow. And then Joseph, he has nobody that he can call sweetheart to or anything. So he calls me sweetheart. He said, "Well, sweetheart, it's nice to talk to you, sweetheart. You're just wonderful." And I said, "Joseph, you are something else again." But, you know, I know what he means and how he means it, and it's just a delight to see that he can be so silly and yet so significant, you know. And that's true for all of us. Well, Ellen, this is just one of many birthdays that will be coming your way, because you do look younger, act younger, get younger every day. And let's go back to the diapers, and then the other side.
Okay.
And then now you're growing up from the other side, and that's when you're growing down. The other side has you at 1,000 years old and going and counting down. And can you imagine having 1,000 years in a child's body? 1,000 years of knowledge, and you do already.
Yeah, really, you do.
But wouldn't that be fun to be aware of that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is my birthday recognition for you, that you can see that in yourself right now.
Thank you.
So, know that I love you. I love you.
And I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.
I accept.
I do accept you.